Catherine thinks that Mr. Treherne has a heavenly nose. The master of the house comes in, accompanied by Lord Brocklehurst. The Earl of Loam is a widower, a philanthropist, and a peer of advanced ideas. As a widower, he is at last able to interfere in the domestic concerns of his house, to rummage in the drawers, so to speak, for which he has felt it itching all his blameless life. His philanthropy has opened quite a number of other drawers to him, and his advanced ideas have blown out his figure. He takes in all the weightiest monthly reviews and prefers those that are uncut, because he perhaps never looks better than when cutting them. But he does not read them, and save for the cutting, it would suit him as well merely to take in the covers. He writes letters to the papers, which are printed in a type to scale with himself, and he is very jealous of those other correspondents who get his type. Let laws and learning, art and commerce die, but leave the big type to an intellectual aristocracy. He is really the reformed House of Lords, which will come some day. Young Lord Brocklehurst is nothing save for his rank. You could pick him up by the handful any day in Piccadilly, buying socks or selling them.
You are here, Ernest. Feeling fit for the voyage, Treherne?
Looking forward to it enormously.
That's right.
Lord Loam chases his children about as if they were chickens.
Now then, Mary, up and doing, up and doing. Time we had the servants in, they enjoy it so much.
They hate it.
Mary, to your duties.
Loam points severely to the tea table.
Congratulations, Brocky.
Thanks.
Mother pleased?
Mother is very pleased.
That's good. Do you go on the yacht with us?
Sorry, I can't. And look here, Ernest, I will not be called Brocky.
Mother doesn't like it.
She does not.
Brocky leaves Ernest, who forgives him and begins to think about his speech. Crichton enters.
We are quite ready, Crichton.
Crichton is distressed.
How Crichton enjoys it.
He is the only one who doesn't. Pitiful creature.
I can't help being a conservative, my lord.
Be a man, Crichton. You are the same flesh and blood as myself.
Oh, my lord.
Show them in. And by the way, they were not all here last time.
Oh, my lord, except the merest trifles.
It must be everyone. And remember this, Crichton. For the time being, you are my equal. I shall soon show you whether you are not my equal. Do as you are told.
Crichton departs to obey, and his lordship is now a general. He has no pity for his daughters and uses a terrible threat.
And girls, remember, no condescension. The first who condescends, recites.
This sends them scurrying to their labors.
By the way, Brocklehurst, can you do anything?
How do you mean?
Well, can you do anything? With a penny or a handkerchief? Make them disappear, for instance.
Oh, good heavens, no.
Well, it's a pity. Everyone in our position ought to be able to do something. Ernest, I shall probably ask you to say a few words, something bright and sparkling.
But, my dear uncle, I have prepared nothing.
Well, anything impromptu will do.
Oh, well, if anything strikes me on the spur of the moment...
He unostentatiously gets the footstool into position behind the chair. Crichton reappears to announce the guests, of whom the first is the housekeeper.
Mrs. Perkins?
Loam shakes hands with Mrs. Perkins.
Very delighted, Mrs. Perkins. Mary, our friend, Mrs. Perkins.
How do you do, Mrs. Perkins? Won't you sit here?
Agatha?
How do you do? Won't you sit down?
Lord Brocklehurst, my valued friend, Mrs. Perkins.
Lord Brocklehurst bows and escapes to fall back on Ernest.
For heaven's sakes, Ernest, don't leave me alone for a minute. This sort of thing is utterly opposed to all my principles.
You stick to me, Brocky, and I'll pull you through.
Monsieur Fleury.
The chef.
Loam shakes hands with the chef.
Very charmed to see you, Monsieur Fleury.
Thank you very much.
Fleury bows to Agatha, who is not effusive.
Agatha, recitation.
Agatha tosses her head, but immediately finds a seat and tea for Monsieur Fleury. Treherne and Ernest move about, making themselves amiable. Lady Mary is presiding at the tea tray.
Mr. Rolston.
Loam shakes hands with his valet.
How do you do, Rolston?
Catherine looks after the wants of Rolston.
Mr. Tomsett.
Tomsett, the coachman, is received with honors, from which he shrinks.
Miss Fisher?
This superb creature is no less than Lady Mary's maid, and even Lord Loam is a little nervous.
This is a pleasure, Miss Fisher.
If I might venture, Miss Fisher.
And Ernest takes Fisher unto himself.
Miss Simmons?
Catherine's maid.
You are always welcome, Miss Simmons.
At last we meet. Won't you sit down?
Mademoiselle Jean?
Charmed to see you, Mademoiselle Jean.
A place is found for Agatha's maid, and the scene is now an animated one. But still our host thinks his girls are not sufficiently sociable. He frowns on Lady Mary.
Mr. Treherne, this is Fisher, my maid.
Your what, Mary?
My friend.
Thomas.
How do you do, Thomas?
The first footman gives him a reluctant hand.
John.
How do you do, John?
Ernest signs to Lord Brocklehurst, who hastens to him.
Brocklehurst, this is John. I think you have already met on the doorstep.
Jane.
Jane comes, wrapping her hands miserably in her apron.
Give me your hand, Jane.
Gladys.
How do you do, Gladys? You know my uncle?
Your hand, Gladys.
Lord Loam bestows Gladys on Agatha.
Tweeny.
Tweeny is a very humble and frightened kitchen maid, of whom we are to see more.
So happy to see you.
At the same moment, Fisher, Lady Mary's maid, and Lord Brocklehurst notice one another.
John, I saw you talking to Lord Brocklehurst just now. Introduce me.
That's an uncommon pretty girl. If I must feed one of them, Ernest, that's the one.
Ernest tries to part Brocky and Fisher as they are about to shake hands.
No, you don't. It won't do, Brocky. You are too pretty, my dear Miss Fisher. Mother wouldn't like it. Here's something safer. Charming girl, Brocky, dying to know you. Let me introduce you. Tweeny, Lord Brocklehurst. Lord Brocklehurst, Tweeny.
Brocklehurst accepts his fate, but he still has an eye for Fisher, and something may come of this.
They are not all here.
Odds and ends?
A stable boy and a page are shown in, and for a moment no daughter of the house advances to them.
Which is to recite?
The last of the company are, so to say, embraced. Loam addresses Tomsett as they partake of tea together.
And how are all at home?
Fairish, my lord. And 'tis the horses you are inquiring for?
Oh, no, no, the family. How's the baby?
Bloomin', your lordship.
A very fine boy. I remember saying so when I saw him. Nice little fellow.
Beg pardon, my lord. It's a girl.
A girl? Exactly what I said. I distinctly remember saying, if it's spared, it will be a girl.
Crichton now comes down.
Very delighted to see you, Crichton.
Crichton has to shake hands.
Mary, you know Mr. Crichton?
Loam wanders off in search of other prey.
Milk and sugar, Crichton.
I'm ashamed to be seen talking with you, my lady.
Such a perfect servant as you, all this must be most distasteful.
Crichton is too respectful to answer.
Please do speak, or I shall have to recite. You do hate it, don't you?
It pains me, your ladyship. It disturbs the etiquette of the servants' hall. After last month's meeting, the page boy, in a burst of equality, called me Crichton. He was dismissed.
I wonder, I really do, how you can remain with us.
I should have felt compelled to give notice, my lady, if the master had not had a seat in the upper house. I cling to that.
Do go on speaking. Tell me, what did Mr. Ernest mean by saying he was not young enough to know everything?
I have no idea, my lady.
But you laugh.
My lady, he is the second son of a peer.
Very proper sentiments. You are a good soul, Crichton.